The one and only Flash, Dwayne Wade. Danger Talk, episode 12, right here. You ready? This episode of Danger Talk is sponsored by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app.
Welcome back to another week of Russell Wilson's podcast, Danger Talk. I'm his co-host, Jeff Dye. Hey, what up, dude? How you feeling?
I'm feeling sore.
I bet. Yeah, that's sore. A long travel, and you got what happened out there, bud?
Hey, man. Now, listen, we got beat is what happened. I mean, we didn't play our best. We, you know, sometimes you go up to the plate. Sometimes you go to the game. Sometimes we just... Some teams play better than you that day, and unfortunately, we didn't play very good. We played like crap, to be honest with you. So we got to be a little sharper. Our defense is playing good, which is really good news. We're really fired up about that. So if we can marry those two up together, offense and how great our offense has been all year for the most part, and our defense and what they're doing right now is really cool. I think they're top team in the sacks or something crazy like that. That's been cool the past several weeks. So that's the thing I get excited about is, yeah, we lost. And even when we win Super Bowls and do all that stuff and gone to multiple playoffs, we've lost some games we maybe, you know, could have been more prepared for or played better in. But, you know, it's part of the journey. You know, they got good players, too. They get paid, too, over there. But I think for us, it's, you know, it's getting, the key is getting back to center, getting back to what we need to do. And I'm looking forward to trying to play great this week coming up and getting rolling.
You ever watch our defense sack the quarterback and you feel a little guilty? I mean, you're a quarterback, so you must watch that and go, ugh, jeebers, put him down a little softer over there, big guy.
Oh, man, no, not really. you know, for me, I take some hits every once in a while, too. So it's part of the game, man. If I didn't want to play this game, I'd play a different one. You know, if anyone get hit, you know, so it's one of those things. But, you know, the crazy thing is, Jeff, you got to take care of your body, though, man. It's every day, you know. It's one of those things you got to take care of yourself every day. I got done swimming early this morning. I do this whole preparation thing. So every day, it's 24-hour clock almost, you know, taking care of this body, making sure you're ready.
That's what I'm doing. I know I'm a stand-up comedian, but I'm always taking care of my body by sleeping in until about 2, 3 p.m. I make sure that I get like a nice base food of pizza in my body before I fall asleep. You know, I identify with what you're saying is my point.
What time you go to sleep on the road? When you're out hanging out doing... stuff. What are you stuff?
Yeah.
What time you go to bed?
Probably like, well, I start work at 8 p.m., you know, so I go to sleep at like 3 a.m., 3:30, 4 some nights. So, you know, I got to sleep in a little.
Yeah. So you get a good 10 hours, huh?
Exactly. Well, you guys, here's the thing about the Seahawks this year. We're tied. We're still tied for first in the NFC West with the Rams, even after losing to the Giants. We're okay. We got four more games, right? Isn't that how? Yeah, that's how we got. What's your goals for the next four games?
Man, win them. That's it. You know, we got to do whatever it takes. We win them. We're in a good place. We're in first place, and you know, go to the playoffs and all that stuff. So we just got to win this game, though. We got to win the next one, and we can play the Jets this week. You know, they've had a tough season, obviously, though, in 12, and they just fired Greg Williams, which Greg Williams is probably one of the craziest defensive coordinators. You know, he does a little bit of everything. Yeah. But you know, I think that. You know, they played actually a really good game, you know, against the Raiders. And so it'll be a good matchup. You know, I spent tons of film, you know, time this morning watching film and stuff like that. And they have some really good players and stuff like that up front. So we got to be ready to roll and play our best game.
Simple goals. Just win. I like just that. And also, I mean, if we lose to the Jets, I'll shave my head on the podcast. That's nobody's losing to the Jets.
Well, we can't have you do that, Jeff. I don't think the ladies would like it.
Oh, I could do this. I could do this with bald. It won't affect my career at all.
Yeah. Okay. So listen, I'm excited about this next guest, man. You excited?
I'm pumped, man. Been a huge, huge fan of this guy. Literally since I heard of him, like I'm a huge fan. I know you are too, actually.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite people in the world. So I'm excited. So listen, our guest today is a 3-time NBA champion, a finals MVP, a 13-time All-Star, 16 years in the NBA, an Olympic gold medalist. On the court, he went by Flash. Please welcome my friend, the one and only D. Wade. Dwayne Wade, you there?
I'm super excited to do this, man. Since you started this, I've been wanting to come on and have a combo with
I'm fired up because we got Jeff Dye here. He's been a big fan of you, and I'm a huge fan.
Never seen this hair color on you before, though. How new is this?
How you like it?
It's DK Metcalf-esque.
Yeah, this is my when I'm off TV, when I'm not on TNT, when I'm not doing anything business wise, this is my alter ego. kind of I go with the alter ego look. So I'm in my alter ego vibe. I'm off right now.
Jeff
so
Dye, I think it's kind of like his alter ego, his hair, his style, you know, his thing. It's kind of like my Mr. Unlimited, you know, that kind of feeling.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but
it's all about Flash with Danger Russ. That's what he gets. You guys are both flashy guys, and I'm just kind of a regular corny white guy. Yeah.
I see Russ changing his hair up so much, and I'd be like, yo, I'd be asking my barber, I'd be like, can you do me, can I get something like Russ be getting? Can I flick? Can you slick it down? Russ got, he got a hairstyle every different day.
That's gotta be Sierra inspired, though. That's gotta be Sierra going, slick it back this time, or grow it out, or shave it off.
Well, C likes it when I grow my hair out super long. So, you know, I think last time D-Wade and I were kicking and hanging out, I had my hair super long. I think we were in the south of France or something like that, D-Wade.
Yeah, something like that.
Meanwhile, Jeff Dye was hanging out in L.A. probably doing something they should be doing.
Hey, that's all off the record, baby. That's all off the record. Yeah. You always bring up my personal stuff.
Yeah, you know, sometimes. But listen, D-Wade, you know, you've been one of my favorite athletes of all time. But, you know, talk to us about 2020. Obviously, it's been a crazy year, what you've been up to and everything else. I know you got a new crib, you got a new house, you got family going on. You got so many amazing things going on. You got business. Everything else, but what you been up to in 2020?
Yeah, man, we've been in the house a lot. I'll tell you one thing, me and my wife have spent a lot of time together, more than we probably ever have in our marriage combined. Like, you know, and you know, obviously my daughter just turned. Yeah, thank you. I need it. We both need it. But the joy that we've had throughout this tough pandemic that, you know, everyone in the world has been experiencing is our daughter. You know, she just turned two, and I have my oldest son is 18, and I wasn't there as much because of my career and really trying to establish my career. So I missed so much of all my kids' lives. So now I'm here every day getting like the baby, the baby stage all over again. And it's obviously amazing, but it's definitely way different than when I first became a parent back in 2002. The total different kids nowadays. So we've been having fun inside our house. And at the same time, you know, we've been trying to work very hard. You know, my wife, Russ, and we're doing something together with you and C is we just try to continue to keep growing the brands, you know, continue to keep pushing, you know, trying to push for generational wealth one day, man. And it starts with us. So, you know, we just got our heads down and we're just working. We're trying to build everything that we've always wanted to from a standpoint of together, what part.
Well, speaking of working, is she putting you to work by taking out all the trash and having to clean up everything nowadays? Because where are you at right now, first of all? Where are you right now?
He said no.
I'm not there yet, Russ. I'm not.
This background, you guy, look like you in a yeah.
He's been on TV so much that he had his own dressing room put in his house. Yeah,
I'm sure.
Everybody, welcome to my dressing room. No, this actually is my wife's makeup room. She got all her products. You can't even see them. She got all her stuff in here. I just get to come down here, and this is the basement pretty much. So I get to come down here and I get away from everybody. So that's why I love coming down here to do, you know, any real work, because everybody's upstairs and it's loud up there. You know, kids running, school going on. It's just a lot of things.
You got no man cave. You just got the woman's cave of a makeup studio, everything else. She's all set up, but you got to hang down there, huh?
I retired now, man. It's different. Now I don't even know. I don't know who wearing the pants in this relationship now.
Every husband needs a good hiding spot, you know, and I think you've found a good one.
I get my bathroom. That's what I get. I get my bathroom. It's like, yo, that's your side over there. Go, this is the first time that we got like separate sides in our home. Oh, that's my spot. I go in my bathroom for an hour.
Well, one of the cool things you talked about was just, you know, building generational wealth. And I've gotten to know your family and Gab and everybody, and just me and C love you guys so much, but just all the things that you guys do. I think one of the cool things you mentioned is just, you know, the thought process of everything going on with COVID and everything else, but how do you still, you know, sustain, how do you still build, how do you still create and all that? I love that kind of thought process. Can you talk about that a little bit? Just the growth of everything.
Yeah, man. I think when the pandemic came and you know, the whole world stopped, you know, you had to sit down and go through your priority list. Okay, so what's our priority list? So for us, it was like, all right, we got to make sure that first and before we focus on us, we got to focus on what we can do to help the world. You know, like we have a responsibility. right? And so we take our responsibility very seriously. So we immediately jumped into our foundation, the Wade's World Family, the Wade Family Foundation. We really jumped into it and seeing how we can continue to make a difference, how we continue to make an impact in the various different things that we're passionate about. And then from there, it's like, okay, now we want to focus on, we got time to sit. No, let's focus on the things that we haven't been able to focus on. One, that's each other. Two, that's little things like, let me read more. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's three is, let's focus on our business and everything that we say we've wanted to build and things we haven't had time for. Well, now we have time, so it's no excuse. So now we put our teams to work. Hey, these are the things that we want to accomplish. So let's see if we can accomplish these things, right? So we home all day. We got a chance to really, you know, get on Zooms and really get a chance to like talk about our passions and the things that we want to, you know, we want to see changed or we want to see added to the world, whatever the case may be. So it's just about, as you know, Russ, man, it's just about doing the things that you're passionate about, things that you can, that's authentic to you. You know, you don't want it to never feel like work. You want it to feel like an extension of. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things that we've been focusing on.
Well, no, I love that about you, man, because you guys both are the coolest power couple out there just because you guys do so many amazing things, you know, together. And I love that about you guys. And you guys really inspire, honestly, me and Sierra and our marriage and our relationship because we like really doing things together. And it seems like you and Gabby, you guys like doing things together. So it's just been cool watching y'all's journey, but also y'all's process of growing, you know, a generational wealth. And you have so many amazing things and businesses, but also you know, from production and so much more. So it's been cool just seeing you guys along the way. And, you know, I Jeff Dye, what was your, before you before we move on here with one-on-one with me and D Wade, I mean, what kind of questions you got from my man, D Wade right here?
Well, I'll tell you, it just seems like it's appropriate to pressure D Wade back into the NBA and be back out there doing his thing. I think it's really unfair the way you just want to retire and work on your family. I think that's selfish. And I think that we need to see you back out there winning more rings. That's just me, just speaking for the people.
Listen, I don't disagree. I think we got need Flash back out there by these days, you know?
Listen, Flash
Ten
is bingo.
More years.
Flash is long,
Ten
long.
10 more years.
You know what I'm loving though? I'm loving this space now that I get to talk about the game. Cause now I talk and I think I talk way better than I really were. Like I talk like the older guys used to talk. Like, you know what I mean? Like when I talk to my kids, I'm like, you know what I used to do? I talk way better than I probably really were. But I'm enjoying now being that guy that can sit back and like, you know, have the relationship with players and like I don't feel any jealousy in my heart about anything. You know what I mean? I just feel like I just want to be there. If a player reach out to me, I want to be there to give them whatever tutelage I can, whatever knowledge I can from everything that I learn. I'm able to root for all players, another team. It's just, I feel so different now. I'm able to enjoy the game as a fan for the first time in a long time. And I gave 16 years and my body is feeling it. Definitely, I gave 16 years and my body's letting me know, hey, we gave 16 years. So I'm just enjoying now being able to look at my accomplishments and say, you did a great job with, you know, with the time you had in there. But now looking and seeing how I can continue to grow and being a mentor or continue to grow in the basketball space differently now than from a basketball playing on the court standpoint. So it's actually funner on this side if you feel that you've accomplished everything that you need to accomplish in the sport that you played.
Well, I think
so. I'll take that as a no, he's not coming back.
Yeah, speaking about coming back and speaking about, you know, growing up in Chicago, because you were born in Chicago, but you know, you spent most of your career in Miami. But I mean, Chicago, you know, that's a big time, not just basketball location, but that's a big time football place. I mean, so who you rocking with in NFL, man?
Don't say it.
Don't do it.
Listen, I'm a Bears fan to the heart. With that being said, Russ, I've had, as a Bears fan, I've had a lot of hard years. Let me say that. It's been a lot of hard years to be a Bears fan, but I bleed it through and through. I'm a Chicago guy through and through. Now, I have my favorite players. I have my friends, and I support them. And, Russ, you know, I'm always watching your games. I'm always watching what you're doing.
I get a text in the middle of the game. I get a text in the middle of the game. I go to my phone. Next thing I know, I got a 7 o'clock game, 8 o'clock game. I get a text from D. Wade about – about 9 o'clock, you know, and it's, you know, after the game, I'm looking back at my text message and be like, hey, that was a good throw. Hey, think about this. Think about that. You know, so it's
Tyler Lockett's open. He's just sending you texts like Tyler Lockett's open.
Find Tyler Lockett when he's not. So you don't even got to worry about that. Like, he going to hit him when he ain't open and he's still going to make the cut. So, I'm enjoying it now. And the only thing that's bad about, you know, being locked in the house is I'm not able to go out and be there. No, last year I was able to fly up to Seattle and watch your game for the first time in person. Now I'm not able to go into the arenas no more, man. And that's the one thing cool about retirement is that you get to go and you get to sit courtside and watch, you know, the Lakers and the Clippers, or you get to see Miami and the Lakers in the finals and all these things. Not being able to experience that is like, dang, that was one of the reasons I was excited to retire.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that has sucked a little bit.
Well, that's a fascinating thing to think about. And Jeff, I'm going to take this one-on-one with my guy. He's going to come back in and join us soon. But yeah, Jeff Dye.
This is a good spot to leave. Like, he said he liked the Bears.
Really?
Yeah. Unreal.
I don't know who Jeff's talking to over there. It's probably his dog. But anyways, you know, listen, the thing is, D-Way, we do this segment, Cooking with Russ, and we talk about this legacy, this one-on-one thing, and just, you know, greatness and what it looks like. And obviously, you played 16 years. And I think all of our Danger Talk fans and all your fans and everything else, they want to know, you know, going from, obviously, you mentioned playing 16 years, and I'm fascinated about this because for me, I want to play 20 years in the NFL and, you know, and play this game for a long time. What did it look like? What did D-Wade's every day look like? I remember going to Chicago, I think it was in a bye week, and I ended up working with one of your former PTs or whatever, and just because I had a quick couple days and I wanted to get some body work on that day or whatever. And you set me up, but you know, I have my whole performance team, but take me through what every day looked like for you when you were playing in the heat of, you know, your career, no pun intended with the heat.
You know, as obviously it changes as you get older in the game, you know, and I think, you know, when I was younger, I thought I did good, Russ, at listening to the veteran guys, but I wish I would have did a better job. Because their whole mentality about taking care of your body was the realest. That's the best information that anybody can give you is, listen, young fella, take care of your body. Now, what does that mean, right? Take care of your body.
Yeah.
So as I got older, I started to learn my body more. I started putting myself around trainers and people who can explain to me about my body. And, you know, I've dealt with knee injuries since college. My meniscus was taken out at 18, 19 years old. And so I've always knew I was going to have a problem, you know, in that area. But to be able to come in with no meniscus and play 16 years and have the career I had, I mean, I did a good job of taking care of my body. So, you know, really finding the right person, you know, my chef was someone that was important to make sure that I got the right food in my system to perform the way I need to, you know, make sure I have, as you know, I mean, you got to have, you know, I have my own personal PT outside of what the team PT, because the team has in basketball, all the players, the 15 players in football. I mean, Jesus Christ, how many players that these PTs have to see? The massage therapist at the team, like, they have to see a lot of people. So I have my own personal ones at home that I will call and come over my house and set up. I had a whole area that had Normatec for game readies, a cryo machine. Like, I had everything at the crib.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be able to walk away from the game when I was ready. And so my days consist of, you know, as I got older, my days consist of more body work than basketball work. When I was younger, it was more basketball work than body work. You know, I was on the court all the time. So it just kind of flopped as I got a little older. But that's why I was able to play so long, because I was able to just realize that and understand that I needed to do a better job of understanding my body before I can say I'm going to take care of my body. And I did that.
Well, I think that's a big thing to me, because, you know, it's changed my career and it allows me to be 100% every week, or at least the 100% I could be that day. And, you know, and I think that, you know, football, we're taking hits all the time, but you guys are playing every night, every other night. I mean, it's travel, flying here, flying there, and just 16 years of it, you know, at, you know, as many 90 plus games you guys are playing, counting playoffs and all that, plus more, maybe even, you know, and then you think about, you know, times that by, you know, 16 years, that's a lot of ball. And I think about, you know, people understand, you know, I think one of the things with athletes is that people, we have fans, we have people who adore us and love us and all that, but people don't understand how hard it is, not just to be good, you know, but to be great. You know, my former quarterback coach, you know, Tater, he used to always say, man, there's a lot of great quarterbacks, you know, that can make it into the NFL and this and that. But he always say, you know, you have to be really, 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 really good just to suck, you'd always say. You know? We always laugh. Yeah. He was like, think about all the guys, you know, who go through college and go through the process and go through that. And they get drafted in the first round and then it doesn't work out. Or, and it's like, you have to be really, 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 really good, he'd say, just to suck. And it was like, it always made me laugh because he'd always talk about this process of getting ready, the preparation, the things, but also still being relaxed and still being calm and still being to take it all in and still be a leader and still be, you know, to be honest with you, try to be a superstar and try, how do you handle all that? And I think the first thing is the prep, the mental side of the game, the mental side, but also the body preparation it takes to just prepare and to perform. It's like a Formula One race car. It's, you got to take care of your body. You got to give it the right fuel. You got to give it the right energy. You got to take care of it. You got to have the right mechanics working on you every day. And I always try to tell young guys all the time, you know, you got to have that. You know, I go back to when I was younger, you know, I just got named starter. We had just played the Kansas City Chiefs. It was my third preseason game. And they had asked me, Coach Carroll actually told me, he said, listen, you're going to be our franchise quarterback. You're going to be the guy. And I was ecstatic. I started thinking about my dad. My dad was, no longer living with us. He was up in heaven somewhere. And I was thinking about him. And I'm in the hot tub. And there was only one other guy with me at the time. And it was this guy named Leon Washington, one of the best kickoff returners in NFL history. And, you know, he was a smaller guy. He was so fast, lightning quick, man. I had watched him at practice every day during training camp. And I watched this guy my rookie year, and he would go full speed every freaking rep. I mean, he would run 100 yards one end to the other end every day, every rep, every kickoff. And it was fascinating to watch. And I always asked him, I said, hey, you got any advice for me? He said, let me ask you this, pup. He said, how many massages did you get a week? I said, how many massages did I get? I get like one, you know, maybe two, depending on how sore I am.
Right.
He says, okay, I'm gonna need you to make that three at least a week. I said, three? Man, I'm on rookie salary though. I mean, what you mean three? He goes, listen, let me tell you why. So how much do the massages cost? I said, let's just say it's about $100. I said, okay, cool. $100. Okay, three massages a week. How much does that cost a week? I said, well, $300. Then he goes, okay, times that by 10 weeks. How much is that? I said, well, okay, that's $3,000. Okay, cool. All right, so we're going to play 20 weeks to go to the Super Bowl. You understand that, right? Mm-hmm. So how much is that? I said, well, $6,000. He said, okay, cool. Well, let me tell you something, Rook. I said, that's $6,000 for me turning to $6 million. That's $6,000 for you. That's going to turn to $60 million for you one day. And I was like, ding, 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 ding. And that's when the light went off. I started really developing myself in terms of how I took care of my body pre-practice, post-practice, throughout the season, and there are no such thing as off days. And I know for basketball, you had so many days of preparing, but what about the mental side for you? Because I think a lot of guys struggle with the mental side nowadays, but you talked about the physical preparation, but what about the mental preparation that it took to be the best in the world?
Yeah. I mean, I think my mental, I mean, that's probably why I became one of the best to play the game, more so than the physical, my mental ability to play the game. And also to understand, at some point, basketball is going to become a business. So you need to understand the business side, right? So so for me, what I tried to do when I came in is my coach, Tom Crean at Marquette, always told me this. He always said, listen, he always asked me, what was I great at? And he's like, what are you great at? What are you great at? You know, like, don't be good at everything. Be great at something. I want you to be at least great at one thing. So mentally, I knew my strengths. I knew my strength was my ability to get past defenders because I had a quick first step and I was explosive. Like, I knew that. So I knew my strength was my ability to be able to draw defenders to me because I'm going to get in that paint. Right. Mm-hmm. So when I came in my rookie year, the only thing I was focusing on was what I was great at. And then as it went on now, and I started getting more attention, I started getting this, and now mentally things can play a trick on me, right? You know what I mean? It's like you start getting money, you start getting fame, you start getting, I'm playing with Shaq, I'm playing with LeBron eventually, I'm playing with all these guys. And mentally for me, I had to always take myself back to the person who first started playing the game. You know what I mean? From the standpoint of the work that I was willing to put in, never letting my endorsements or never letting even my family at times, never letting them get in the way of the process of the work that I needed to put in. And also to the work I need to put in on the film I watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, how much am I going to know about my opponents? How much am I going to know about my game? You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people don't know their own games. That's why most people who you be like, oh, he could be great. It's because he don't know his game. you know, right? So mentally, I had to lock in on my game. I had to lock in on my opponent's game. I had to lock in on the business side of basketball. I had to So all these things that challenge you mentally that people don't even think about before you even take one snap or before the jump ball goes up that I have to focus on. And so the mental part of it, man, is one of the most challenging but one of the most important parts of greatness for an athlete.
Well, I think it's one of the most – I think it's probably the significant – because once you get to a certain level, you know, everybody can play a little bit, can move, jump, shoot, throw, whatever. But the mental part is the part that, you know, I always talk about being neutral mindset, not being too high, not being too low, being able to be even keel in the midst of it all. You know, always talk about neutrality. But it's one of those things that I think that we don't prepare enough for, you know, as players, as people, just as trying to be elite, is the thought process that it takes to, one, have the consistency. You know, me and Bobby Wagner always talk about this idea of don't get bored consistency. Mm-hmm. You have to get so obsessed with doing it consistently over and over again, even when it gets tough, even when it's challenging, even when life's challenging, even when you got other things at home going on and everything else. And I think also, too, there's this connection between life, how we grew up, things we've seen, things we've had to go through, all the different things that we've had to do to be ultimately prepared for the type of career that you've had. And so I think about, you know, going back, you know, I want to go back to you growing up in Chicago, because to me, you know, what was it like for you growing up in Chicago and that whole process of that?
I mean, you know what, like I look at that experience as my experience of growing up in the inner city of Chicago. I mean, I got a similar story to most athletes, right? We grew up in a single parent home. You grew up in, you know, I grew up in the hood, right? I grew up poor, mm-hmm. grew up very poor. And so all those instances where I grew up with my mom on drugs. You know, my mom was in jail most of my childhood. You know, my dad was, you know, alcohol and in and out of my life. I grew up with just that typical hood story, right? But for me, I didn't allow that. And as my wife come in, Russ,
hey, say, what's up, guys? We'll be on Danger Talk. We on Danger Talk doing our thing.
Yeah, but I told you, I'm from Rome, so yeah, go ahead.
Tell him to get out your studio. Bye. See ya.
But, you know, growing up in the city, man, like I said, that molded me. And it made me realize what was important, you know, in life. And even though this sport, it would take us, man, this sport going to take us to the highest. We've been there. You know, this sport take us to the south of France, man, where we sitting there with our beautiful wives and, you know, we're sitting there and enjoying the life that, you know, the work that we put in. But, you know, growing up in the community I grew up in, it's made me appreciate every moment of this journey, even the ones that I've had to have surgeries. Because, you know, I think Kobe said it when he in his jersey retirement, the journey is what's special. The journey is what you remember. You know what I mean? And so I think me growing up in the inner city of Chicago, it's made me appreciate the journey, because I've seen and I know the other side. And I know, you know, like I know how blessed I've been to be able to put in a position where I can go to college, you know what I mean, where I can still continue to play the sport that I want to play throughout my life. And then to do it at the elite level and to be one of the best to do it, I couldn't take that for granted. And a lot of it all always just kept in my mind where I come from. That little kid that was, you know, grew up sleeping in the same bed as his sister, praying every night just for God to come in and just, you know, give us, change our lives in some way, allow me to be the one to kind of put up my family on the right path and to change our lives. I never forgot that kid. I never forgot those prayers. So, you know, that's just, you know, I just use my Chicago, man, you know, background just to kind of push me through whenever I felt like I was getting too high. And whenever I felt like I was getting too low, as you say, Russ, as you just said recently, stay the course. You know what I mean? Like in this sport that we play, you have to stay the course. Don't never get too high. Don't never get too low. Sport is all ebb and flow. And it all depends how you're going to stay the course that's going to allow you to be successful. And that's all I try to focus on.
Well, I think that's a beautiful thing. I think it's something that's so true, because, you know, it's something that me and Sierra have always said to each other, just stay the course, you know, in success. And if you want to be at the highest, you want to be at the top mountaintop, you have to be willing to fall a little bit. You have to be willing to try to climb the top of the mountain and get to the top, but you may slip a few times. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the reality about life. And I think about, you know, everything that your mom even had to go through. And, you know, as you mentioned, you know, and, you know, just her being in prison at the time and all that stuff, you know, how did that affect you and how did it continue? Just when I say affect you, how did that your mom's transformation and life, how did that inspire you? Because I think that like your story is so inspirational as I listen to you even now and getting to know you and everything else. And, you know, I'm just watching you, you know, be Flash back in the day. You know, it's like, you know, I think that I've always known your story to be such an inspiring story, even for me, but so many other kids. And I think I envision, like, when I go into the stadium and I walk into a new stadium, when I walk into a, you know, we went to, you know, a Miami Dolphins stadium, or go to a new stadium, go in this one, go in that one, go into our new stadium here, you know, with the Seahawks, or go wherever we go. Like, to me, it was always an opportunity for somebody to see somebody overcoming something. Like, I wanted kids to be like, man, like, if he can do it, if that guy can do it right there, being that size or being this or being that with obstacles in his way, or, you know, yeah, he won a Super Bowl. It didn't work for him. He also lost one. Okay. Like, but he can still overcome it all. Like, man, I want to have that overcome. Man, his dad was on his deathbed. Like, man, they didn't grow up much. Like, man, I want to be like that, because that's me. And I think about your story, and I think about so many kids across the country, guys and girls. And I think about just your story, about what you've had to overcome. And sometimes people don't, you know, I was fortunate to have both my parents there, but they had to work. They had to, you know, my dad was, you know, had to work all the time, my mom and all that, but we didn't grow up much. But I think, you know, listening to your story, you know, and there's so many kids that don't have a mom or dad there or whatever, and they want to be Flash. They want to be the next, you know, number three, you know, and I think about that. And just, how's your mom's transformation inspired you, but also how do you think that you've used that to inspire others?
First of all, my mother is, and I wrote my mom a letter when I was younger, and my mom was in prison. And I remember in my letter, I was telling my mother that she was my role model. And my mom at the time, broken down, you know, dope fiend, you know, in jail. And she like, what is this kid talking about? I'm his role model. And I just let her know, like, how strong she was. You know what I mean? To be able to take life, you know, you grow up in the inner city, man. They don't give you no playbook. They don't give you no head start. You don't get no money in your account. You don't get nothing. You got to figure it out. And it's not always easy. And to be able to take life head on the way she did, and then to be able to say, my mom, one of these times my mom went to prison, the last time she turned herself back into prison. And I felt that to be so courageous, man, and so like amazing that she had the strength to say, you know what, I want to turn myself back into prison because I want to live the life that I've always dreamed of living. Or I want to be the mother or the grandparent that I've always wanted to be to my grandkids. And I can't do that if I'm on the run. And so to have a strong woman like that, man, in my life, and know that that's my mother, I know where I come from, then I know what I'm built of. And so for me, man, just going through this journey, I always, and still now, you guys know, man, me and my wife, we speak out on issues all the time. You know, my daughter obviously recently just came out as transgender. Like, we share what we go through because we know it's others like us. And whether I'm worried about the headlines, I'm not worried about the comments underneath a photo, I know that it's some families in the inner city of Chicago, it's some Black family, it's some Black father, it's some Black person, it's some man out there that is dealing with the same issues that Dwayne Wade is dealing with. And if I can help them think of something a different way, if I can help them, you know, take them out of a moment that they're dealing with by giving them some excitement from the game of basketball because I've scored 40 and I did this and I did that, I feel like it's God gave me this responsibility and this platform for a reason. So I'm going to use it to the best of my ability. And so that's what I've done throughout this entire time. And that's what, you know, I think for me, why I can walk away from the game and feel complete, because it wasn't just about the points that I put up. It wasn't even just about the championships. It was about the impact that you were able to make and then how many people you were able to inspire along the way, man. And, you know, so that's what I love about what we get to do.
Yeah, well, I love that thought process too, and the impact that you and your wife have been able to do, because you and Gab do so much for so many people, but even especially for the Black community, and just kind of how you've really helped inspire so many people. And I think also too, you know, when you think about kind of, you know, as you talked about, you know, your family, you talked about your mom as well, and just even your mom's story is transformational and inspirational because of who she is. I know you bought her a church and all that. And I'm sure like that first feeling of her walking into her own church and to be able to realize, man, I went through all this storm. I went through all this trouble. I did all these wrong things, but man, God gave me another chance. And he gave me another chance to do it. He gave me another chance to glorify him. He gave me another chance to inspire people. And I think that faith and that belief and that love and that forgiveness and that ability to overcome and that ability to inspire other people is one of my favorite things about you, other than, you know, obviously you went in so many championships. And so, you know, you've been special, man, just along the way. And so that's what I really loved about your process. And you're a winner by nature. You're a winner by how your mom helped you overcome, how you overcame, how you wrote that letter to your mom, how you've helped your family, and not worrying, as you mentioned, about the headlines or this or that. You're worrying about winning people's hearts and affecting people to be better people. And that's what I really love about you. And so you're a winner by nature. And as we talk about winning, you know, obviously you go to, you know, winning your first NBA championship. Take me back there. Take me back to your first NBA championship. I mean, I go back to my first Super Bowl and just holding the trophy up there. That's a feeling. That's like a feeling like never before. I was in New York City, ready, man. The moon, full moon was out. We held the trophy up, like Lombardi trophy. But take me back to the first NBA championship. You guys started down. You guys were like 0-2, right? Like, and so like, Just the overcoming part of it and how you guys got there and that nature of winning. How'd you guys get back to that?
You know what, man? So the year before we won a championship was Shaq's first year in Miami. And Shaq got traded from the Lakers. And we, like, immediately I knew that when Shaq came, I was like, all right, we got to compete for a championship. That means that 16 points a game and those 4 assists and all that I averaged the year before, that's not going to get it done. So I had to take up my mental had to go to another level. Obviously, my ability, my talent, and whatever I was afraid of that was holding me back from getting there had to go to another level. And that first year that we were together, my second year, we thought we were the Heatles. You couldn't tell us nothing. And then once we lost in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals to Detroit, it was a big bag of humble pie, you know, right? And this, for me, that whole next year, the whole next summer, rather, getting prepared for the season was all about getting back to that Game 7 again. Getting back to that moment and see what we were really made of and what I was made of. Because you walk away and you say, if we get back to that game again, I will do X, Y, and Z different. We're not going to lose and all these things. So you want to hold yourself to that. And once we got back to that same situation, I performed at that level that I knew I could. And then once we got to the finals, man, it was just about making adjustments. You know, they hit us with the first 2 games, but that's it's okay. They played at home. We had to figure out a way to beat them. We had never beaten Dallas since I've been in the NBA, but to that point. So we had to figure out a way to beat Dallas. And I got to a point where they was guarding Shaq a certain way. Shaq was getting a little older at this time, but they still was bringing double teams at Shaq at some points. And then at times they was letting him go one-on-one, but he wasn't in rhythm and we wasn't getting him the ball. It was a lot going on. And I just said, you know what? It's time. If I'm going to do this, if I'm going to get this trophy that I've always seen, I seen Michael Jordan and the Bulls in the locker rooms with the cigars, with the champagne. And I was like, I want that feeling. If I'm going to get that feeling, I got to get it now. And I got to go out and give everything I can. And that's what I did, man. I put on for my city. I put in that Chicago mindset and I put my head down. I closed my ears to the noise and I just performed at the level that I always knew I could. And to be able to do that and watch my teammates come along and the Gary Paytons of the world and the Antoine Walkers and the Alonzo Mournings and for them to get their first championship and know that I was a big part of that, man, it was a great feeling. As you said, you remember everything about that day and that night. I remember everything about that day, the day before, that night, the next day, because it was a special moment, man. And it made me feel like, okay, I can accomplish anything that I want. You know, it's not going to always happen when you want. It's not always going to be perfect. But if you believe, if you put the work in, obviously, if it's ordained from the man above, then it's going to be yours. You just got to be ready for it when it's presented. And I was ready for it when it was presented.
Well, you weren't just ready. You blew it out the water, man. You ended up scoring, I think, 42, I think 36, 43. I remember watching the game, 36 points the last game. You were on fire. Oh, the boys couldn't stop you. But Flash is on fire, yeah, making all these buckets. But like one of the cool things is this, there's just switching your mindset, you know, and the switch, like, I got to do this. I got to find a way. Like, it's time to turn on. It's time to put on. It's time to go. It's time to show up. It's time to everything I've dreamed of. Boom, a cigar, everything. Right. And I think that's what greatness looks like. There's a shifting in the atmosphere. There's a transformation into a player and the mindset in the moment. And that's when people are in the zone. Everybody talks about being in the zone. You know, it's one of those fascinating things. And I think how you did it, listening to you, it sounds like you ignore the noise. I think even for me right now, there's a moment in time where, okay, it hasn't been going the best the past couple of weeks, maybe even last week. But you know what? Like, I know who I am. I know what I'm destined to do. I know who I'm destined to be. I know where I'm going. Like, and I think there's that switch. And I feel like I'm just at the beginning of that switch. I feel like I'm like right in it right now. And sometimes there's a little bit of fire, right? There's a little bit of turmoil. There's a little bit of a trial a little bit to really catapult you into where you're going. And I think that's where I think that I am right now. So that's why I was curious for you when you guys were 0-2 winning your first championship and everything else. And then you went hot, you went 42, 36, 43, I think 36 again. I mean, you just went off. That's where I want to make. So to you, it was ignoring the noise. Was there anything else that you did, like actual tactical things that you did? Was it putting your phone down? Was it this? Was it that? Was it talking to somebody? Did you have a mental coach? Is there something that the one little thing that you did to ignore the noise and get you zoned in?
The noise has never really bothered me that much. You know, we all.
Yeah, me neither.
You know what I mean? Like, we hear, we see it all. Like, yeah, it's going to be some things that's going to motivate you a little bit here and there. But, like, the noise really, positive or negative, has not really made me a better player, right? I was driven by my life drove me enough. But the one thing that I did know, Russ, and this is, I think, once you unlock things and you experience and you see it, then it's happened for you, so you know. So I knew that I had a switch and a level that I can go to that only a few in the NBA could go to. You know what I mean? I knew that it's some guys in the NBA, like, we probably right here, but then I could turn that switch up in the last 5 minutes of the game, and I can go somewhere that you can't go. And so I had that confidence in knowing that everybody out here is good, but can't nobody go where I can go, because I've proven it to myself time and time again, just like you. You've proven to yourself time and time again. That's why you're confident right now. Yes, you want to always be on. You want to always hit every target. You want to win every game. That's not the nature of life. But you prove it to yourself time and time again that you can do it. And everybody around you believe in you because they watch you do it. So I think people, they didn't know I could win a championship, but they knew what I was capable of. So everybody around me had the confidence just to say, here, lead us. And I had Hall of Famers around me, and I was 24 years old, and they just gave me the reins and said, lead me. That's all the confidence I need. You know what I'm saying? So outside of making sure that I stayed to the principles of, let me make sure that I always watch film. It's a series. We're in a seven-game series. All right. I need to see what he did the first two games, because I know if this has worked for him in these first two games, he's coming back to it in game three. So I need to be able to take this away. All right. I need to be able to see in this series, Jerry Stackhouse went left 76% of the time. Now I know. First two games, like, so all these things, when it comes to tactical, you need to know these things. Like, for all the young athletes out there, you can't just show up and play and think you're going to be great. You have to get into the mental side of it. You have to get into the numbers a little bit as well. So you know your opponent inside and out. So when it comes down to that last moment in the game where you got to stop a play, you know what plays they go to, because they always go to these plays. They got four plays they go to. You already know. So you're coming out of timeout with 1 second left, like, okay, they need a bucket. This is what they normally go to. And now I can take that away. So, yes, tapped into the mental side of it for sure. And that's why you put the mental with the physical and they both line up together at the same time. Then you get finals MVP. You know what I mean? Winning four games straight.
Well, I think that's part of staying the course, too, that we talked about earlier. You know, it's this idea of being in the zone, being there and everything else. So, you know, you also talked about playing with Hall of Famers and some of the guys you've gotten to play with. And I go back to that 2008 Olympic gold medal redeem team. Man, that team was amazing. You know, obviously there was a bronze medal, I think, in 2004. But, you know, you guys, you know, it was basically gold or failure, right? And so that whole process for you guys, you know, what was it like being a part of that team? You know, I think about some of those team members that you had. You had Kobe Bryant, you know, he was a team captain. I think you had LeBron, you had Melo, you had CP3, you had Jason Kidd, Dwight. I think you had Chris Bosh too, you know, as well. So you're playing with some of the best guys that ever played this game. But take me back to some of those moments and just what made that team so special.
You know what, like you said, and as you mentioned, in 2004, we won bronze. And so at that moment for us, everybody wanted to play in the NBA, right? Everybody's goal is to make it to the NBA. We're the top. And so for us to be the best in basketball and to lose when it comes to the world, we felt a certain way about ourselves. And so once we got to 2008, it was no games to be played on that basketball floor. You know, I mean, we knew that the world was catching up when it comes to talent. You know, we couldn't just show up anymore. We had to actually play as a team and win and not just be a bunch of individuals. And so to have leaders and captains like Jason Kidd was important. I think Jay Kidd was probably 34 at the time, but he was a starting point guard on our team because we needed that. We needed that leader. To have Kobe Bryant at the time, who was a little older than us, but still was in his prime. We needed his leadership. He's won three championships by this time. So you know, it was a lot of things that, and a lot of reasons why, you know, for us, where we knew that we needed to do this. And this was not just for us. This was for the future of the Olympics. You know, we lose 2 years in a row, it's over for us.
Yeah, that ain't good.
We can't lose. But the cool thing about it, Russ, was like, you know, when you talk about no egos, no one on that team has egos. You know, do everybody want to play? Yeah. Do everybody want to be a part of the closing group and start? Of course you will want to do that. But when it came to the goal, Coach K told us, listen, check your egos at the door. You know, bring what makes you here, but check your egos at the door. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be moments, D-Way. Hey, I know you're one of the top players in the NBA right now, but you're not starting. And it's not because you're not good enough. It's because that this unit is the unit that we're going to go with. And you're going to come in this unit, and you got to do X, Y, and Z. So play your role. And that's what we all did. We all played our role. We all had a lot of success by doing it. We had so much fun, and we put U.S. basketball back on the map. And so I'm proud when I look at the guys in the Olympics and get a chance to play now, because I know what we went through to get that respect back for the USA.
Well, I think wearing that, you know, that's the one thing in football, I don't get to wear that USA across my chest, you know, like you guys. But that feeling, man, playing the Olympics has got to be something special. But also playing with so many great players, you know, and being around, you know, some of the greatest players to ever play the game. But, you know, think about a guy like Kobe. Obviously, we miss him, you know, and you know, his family is super close to ours and just everything else. But I think, you know, when you think about Kobe in 2008, in the middle of his career, you know, right when the heat of everything he's doing and making all these buckets and plays and all that, what'd you learn from him? And then what was your favorite memory of him?
You know, one of my favorite things about, I got so many, but one of my favorite things about that experience with Kobe is so I was coming off the bench. And Cole came to me as he knew I was coming off the bench. And he said, hey, D, when you get in, because we're going to be playing together. He was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick up the defender 94 feet. I'm going to harass him. I'm going to turn him. And once they get to half court, I've turned him enough. I want you to, because Cole knew I was fast. He knew I was quick. And so he was like, I want you to like shoot at him. You know what I mean? Like to come and trap or to come and get a steal. But for me, I looked at that. I'm like, I'm a younger guy. I'm the least, you know, accomplished guy in this group. I should be the one that you say. He should have told me, D, you go pressure, and I'm going to do that. But his mindset wasn't that way. His mindset was, listen, all Kobe cared about was defense. When he knew that me and he was going to play together, he was like, I don't care about the offense. I just know that we're two dogs on the both ends. It's going to be number 10 and number 9 on each side of the floor, and defensively, we're going to be dogs. And so to be able to play with a guy who had everything offensively, who could have just demanded us to give him the ball every time down, was worried about defense in the Olympics. Come on, bro. What am I going to do? I'm going to follow suit and follow the leader.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And so that was one of my favorite things when he came to me and he said that. Like, I didn't care about starting the wall. I cared about my moments when I got a chance to get on that court with Cole, because I knew what it was going to go down. You know what I mean? Like, it was special. And obviously playing with LeBron and a young Dwight Howard at that time and, you know, all these great players, man, and for all of us to be able to play our roles and give the team what they needed from night in and night out, man, it was special. It was one of the most special feelings that I was a part of. When I stood up on that podium and I got a chance to, you know, sit there and, you know, listen to and just kind of look around and kind of see like where I'm at. A couple years ago, I was in the inner city of Chicago. Right now, I'm in China on the biggest stage in the world, winning a gold medal next to Kobe Bryant. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm 9, he 10. So imagine both of us putting our head down at the same time. Like, how did I get here? And it's just, man, just appreciating the journey, man. And it was special. So now that Kobe's not around anymore, man, and we don't get all three of us don't get a chance to chop it up and talk about these moments, they become even more special because you know that those moments are not coming back anymore. But I have them, and I'm able to tell the stories, and it enriched my life so much.
Well, I think about that image of you guys, you know, putting your head down, they're putting the gold medal on you guys, and as you mentioned, 9 and 10 and right next to each other, and just that feeling of that, but also too, the imagery that you just depicted of just Kobe Bryant saying, I'm gonna make him turn. I'm gonna make him do this. Boom. And you split it and go play D. I mean, that to me, man, makes me, you know, just like, I love the intentionality of great ones. I love the intentionality and the focus and the tenacity of how people want to do. And people don't see that all the time. People don't get to know that, you know, people get to see this great scorer in Kobe Bryant, obviously, but people don't know that he loved defense just as much. And if not more, even at times. And so, you know, it's amazing to think about and just a special moment, obviously, for you guys to be able to win, you know, gold medal, you know, and to be able to be next to each other, number 9, number 10, to be able to rock the jersey and everything else. So yep. Those are definitely amazing memories. So take me back to this big three too. You know, obviously you guys go, you're in Miami, you're the star of Miami, you do all this stuff, you're kicking butt, you know, all that. But then here comes LeBron and Chris Bosh, you know, coming to Miami. I mean, I want to know this phone conversation. Like, what is this phone conversation like? Like, hey, man, I'm thinking about coming down. You call him, he call you. Like, take me back to when LeBron announces that he's going to be headed down to Miami. Yeah. Like, how did all this transpire?
No, it was crazy, man. You know, free agency in basketball is huge, right? It's a big thing.
Yeah.
And I literally, man, I went into that summer now, and this is a God honest truth. I went into that summer thinking about my career outside of Miami at that time. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like at that time, I was like, you know what? I don't know if we have the talent on our roster or if we're going to get the talent on our roster to compete for a championship. And that's all I want to do. And so.
And how old are you at this time? How old are you at this point?
This 2010. So I'm 28. In 2006, okay, in 2008, I was 26 in Olympics. So I'm 28 now. And I know that I've dealt with some injuries. You know, I've had a few surgeries at this point. You know, I know that, you know, even though I'm in my prime and I'm still one of the baddest boys out there, I know that this doesn't last forever. And so my mentality was, I'm tired of losing the first round. I want to get back to competing for real, like we did in 06, you know what I mean? Getting that chance to go to the finals. So I went into that summer with a different mindset. Now, I didn't go into that summer thinking like, oh, I'm going to just get all my money and go. I went to that summer thinking like, I want to win a championship. And of course, I want to get a big payday. But, you know, that's what it was about. So I actually, bro, I was looking at Chicago real tough. No lie, you know, because that was my hometown. They had a young D Rose at the time. They had Luau. They had Joe Keane. They had, you know, they had all these good Taj Gibson. They had like these good players that I felt like, man. I know what I can bring to them. And also I know they got money to go get somebody else. So this may be a good situation. And so that my mentality was either Chicago or Miami, and because I knew Miami. And I go down to my agent's office and I'm sitting down with him, and he tells me about this call that he had with LeBron's agent, Leon Rose, who is now the president of the New York Knicks. Just about the contracts and about, you know, just about what the Miami Heat has said that they can do. And what other teams are saying they can do. And at that time, it was every team was saying that they can clear enough money to bring in two star players. That was the whole thing. We can bring in two max star players so we can clear enough money. And then the Heat came along and said, we can clear enough money to bring three star players in. And that right there changed the game, because that was the moment where we was like, well, hold on. three players. So me and Bron gets on the phone. Me and Bron are friends. We always talk anyway. We get on the phone, and Bron's, you know, what you thinking? And we both talk about what we thinking. And one thing we've seen is that, you know, we had some similar teams that we were interested in. We both was interested in Chicago. We both was interested in the Knicks. We both was interested in the Brooklyn Nets, eventually what their name became. Some common interest in that. And then the Miami Heat thing came out of nowhere, and that became that sparked our interest. And so the conversation started from the organizations letting us know, hey, we can bring in multiple guys. And that's when we started to decide, oh, man, I think we can play together. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know where it's going to be. I think we can play together. And once the Heat said they can bring in three guys, now we like, man, like, we can play together and we can bring somebody else. And so it just kind of like it wasn't something that was planned. It was something that just kind of like worked itself out. And then once we just got together, man, it was like, hey, we got an opportunity not only to play together, but we got an opportunity to kind of change put the power in the player's hand. We knew that. We knew that if we made that move in 2010, that we was going to change the power in a sense, and it was going to go to the players, because we were players making this decision to take less money to all play together in our primes. Well, I was a little bit older in my prime than those guys, but Brian was just reaching here. And so we knew it was going to change the game. And so to be able to be young guys, young black guys in that room and be able to make that decision together was powerful. And it was important for now what's going on in the league. Players get to decide their future and their fate, where they want to go. And I love that.
Well, it's amazing because you guys were obviously, I think you three were all top five picks, you know, in the 2003 draft, I think it was. You guys end up winning two championships in 4 years. And I think back to those years, and you know, can you take me back to that process of, you know, going through those years, putting everything together, all the weight probably also be on y'all's shoulders because everybody's expecting y'all to win now. There's no way you guys don't win. And, you know, it's like that's a pressure in itself. But the reality is people, you know, I think people want to play with great players. I think a lot of times people think it's just about the money and all that. And the money definitely is important. But I think also, too, the winning is what drives us. The winning is what really gets us to wake up every morning and go for it and to work hard. And so, you know, obviously, you know, you guys coming together as one. I mean, that was an amazing team, first of all. But just thinking about those years and you go back to 2011, and obviously you guys, you know, play in the finals. I think you guys lose to the Mavericks, right? And then you go 2012, you guys play in the finals. You beat Oklahoma City. Then 2013, you go back again. You guys are just, bang, you know, hitting all these finals. And you beat San Antonio, which is an amazing, amazing matchup. Just in, and Ray Allen hits that shot in game six to keep the series alive, which I think he goes back to the corner, hits the big shot, which was crazy because I remember sitting there watching it and just like, raise up, boom, and he pulls back and he hits it. Just that moment. And then obviously the 2014 finals where it doesn't work out. But take me back to the process of, you know, and not working out, you guys losing the first one and just the shock of it, because I've experienced that obviously too. But then, you know, obviously continue to work again. How'd you guys transition from the shock of losing to the success of winning and then winning again and then going another time? And then obviously Ray in 2013 hitting that shot. Like, what was that moment like? What were those feelings?
Yeah, man.
Like?
I mean, we thought we was a bad boy. We thought we were there before we were there. You know what I mean? Like you take at the time, you know, I think he was what, 25? You take a 25-year-old LeBron, 28-year-old Dwayne Wade, and the 25-year-old Chris Bosh, you say they're going to win the championship. There's no way that they're not going to win. We kind of had that mentality, like, listen, we're about to run through this thing. We're about to go. And even though we respected the talent that was in the league, we knew what we had, and we was like, this is special. And then we were able to keep Udonis Haslam, you know me, who took a pay cut to stay. We were able to bring in Mike Miller, you know, who was an amazing, versatile player for us, and so forth and so on. So we felt very good about our chances. And once we got smacked in the face in Dallas, Dallas put it on us. It was, once again, we got humbled very quickly. And, you know, I'm going to go off topic real quick and I'm going to come back. Let me tell you one of the most humbling moments of that. So Dallas beats us in the final. And I go dark. LeBron goes dark. He grows his hair, everything. He goes real dark. And we had a trip that was planned earlier that we was going to get our families together, our wives together, and we were going to go to Bahamas and, you know, do all this. So we kept our trip. And that was the first time we'd seen each other since we lost. And so, you know, we're trying to get ourselves out of this funk. You know what I mean? Hey, we're in the Bahamas. Let's go out. Let's gamble. Let's whatever. Let's get out this funk. And so we get to the club and Jason Terry is in line, right?
Uh-huh.
Terry, shout out to the Jet. Jason Terry is in line. Jason Terry is in the back of the line. And we walk in, it's like, D-Wade, Brown, come on. So we go right in, VIP, you know, and Jason Terry, man, might have took him another 20 minutes to get in that club, right?
25
minutes to get in. And Jason Terry came in and he walked right up to me and Brian, walked right up to us as soon as he came in the club, walked right up to us and put his hand out. And in that moment, I did not want to shake that man's hand at all because they just beat us in the finals. And, you know, JT, love him. And he talked throughout the whole finals and, you know, as he should have, because we, you know, we did our thing too. And I didn't want to shake his hand. And at that moment, I was like, damn, JT got something over us right now, man. Like, we may can get in the club quicker than anybody, but this man walked up to us with so much swagger, so much confidence, like, yo, y'all probably got in 30 minutes before me, but y'all gonna have to pay respect to the champ. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I still got the ring. I still got the ring.
But he came over there like, pay respect. And we had to give that man his respect because of what they accomplished and how they beat us was special. But what they did is it humbled us and it got us ready for what was to come. And what was to come was the next 3 years of going back to the finals 3 years in a row, being a young OKC team that had a lot of talent with Russ and James and KD, but they were young. And even though they gave us the great finals, they shouldn't have beat us anyway because we were more seasoned, we were more experienced. I had already won the finals. Brown had already been in the finals. You know, they were just some young pups that were very talented that made it to the finals. But impressively, by the way, but we knew that they wasn't able to beat us when it came down to the mental side of the game at that time. And we needed to get them early. We're like, let's get these dudes now before they become the guy, before they become the guys in the league. And then that next year, man, against San Antonio, that was the toughest challenge that we had. you know, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, you know what I mean? And then the rest of the guys, the Danny Greens of the world, the Patty Mills, like they had an amazing team. And it challenged us physically, of course, but it challenged us here. And Ray Allen bailed us out. Ray bailed us out, man. You know, man, game six, you know, getting to that point, obviously a lot of things had to go on, you know, go our way. You know, Kawhi missing that free throw, LeBron hitting that first three, Chris Bosh getting the rebound, finding Ray. And it was so amazing about that moment, if you stop it in real time, is we watched Ray do that a million times in practice. We watched him back up to the corner. We watched him get off his butt, get off his knees, and back up to the corner at the end of each workout. And so to see him in that moment when Chris got the rebound and you looked and you seen that it was Ray Allen that he was about to give the ball to, you just felt a calm and a peace that he was going to make a shot. And once he made it, I was like, now we're going to win the finals. I really felt that, even though it wasn't over, I felt now we're going to win this final. So it was just a special run, man. And every year brought something different to, you know, to us that we can all take in our lives. You know, LeBron is still using it in basketball. He's taking what we learned and he's giving it to the Lakers. He's giving it to AD. He's giving it to those guys. And I'm using mine in my professional, I mean, in my business life now. Chris Bosh is doing the same. And so forth and so on, man. So it was a special run by a special team that will go down in history, you know, in the NBA.
Well, it's one of the best teams ever. And I think about, but the plot thickens here because it sounds like Jason Terry's handshake really pissed y'all off and let you guys go to four NBA finals, three consecutive after that and win two of the three. So I'm going to blame it on Jason Terry's handshake in the Bahamas.
He got the swag to say, oh, we beat them.
Yeah. So, well, listen, I'm going to do this ad read. We're going to talk about, before I do the ad read, you know, after we do the ad read, I'm going to talk about business and everything else you got going on. So I'm going to hit this ad read real fast. But last week is in the books. Now it's time to review the tape and prepare for this week. There is no better place to get in all the action than with DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. If you haven't signed up yet, what are you waiting for? Get in the game right from your couch. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now and use code DANGERTALK. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on all of this week's action. Enter code DANGERTALK to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code DANGERTALK only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Hey, but listen, man. So I'm going to talk about this business career because we've talked about success. We've talked about family. We've talked about overcoming. We've talked about mentality. You talked about preparation. You talked about your career. You talked about amazing moments. Obviously, you know, you and Kobe in 2008 and winning the gold medal and, you know, number nine, number 10, you putting the gold medal on you, you know, that feeling of all that USA and just everything that you've done, the NBA championships, the handshake by Jason Terry, you know, but, and LeBron's grown out hair. I can only imagine, but you listen, take me to your business career now, what you're doing now. And just, you know, how'd you really start thinking about life and business and, you know, after the playing days were over, how did that all kind of come together and what you're up to right now?
Injuries, you know, and I, 2007, mm-hmm. I had shoulder injury and I had knee surgery as well. So I had shoulder surgery on my left side and my knee on my left side. And you know, I ain't gonna lie to you, Russ, I was scared. I didn't know if I would ever return back to form. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like this shoulder surgery was a hard surgery to come back from and trying to rehab my knee at the same time. And so at that moment, I had to look at my life and say, if it ended right now, would my family and I be in a situation where we're financially stable, right? Like, have I done enough, mm-hmm. you know, with the game and outside of the game? So at that moment, I started thinking differently about the future. I really started thinking about the future at that time. And I started wanting to, like, put myself out there a little bit and do things that I was a little afraid of doing. You know, and all those things set me up for once I was done. And it's when I say that, I say like going on and host Kelly live. You know what I mean? Like going, I've always been afraid to like host live, and I was like, I got to do it because I need to see if I'm good enough at it. I need to walk through the doors that's open for me. And so, in the midst of like trying to do things that I was afraid of, and also you know, building a shoe company and, you know, and having endorsement deals with, you know, the various companies here and there and trying to get the right investments and put the right team around you, you know, all of that while still playing a game of basketball, but understand the importance of it, because you know that the game will not last forever. And so use your platform to be able to, once again, do the things that you feel that inspire you, that can inspire others, that's authentic to you, because it doesn't feel like work if it's authentic. And all these things, man. So for me, you know, I went down a path kind of similar to a lot of people early on when it was the Gatorade deals, it was the shoe deals, it was the kind of the Jordan method. And then I started jumping into fashion and I started going into the fashion space. And a lot of guys in the NBA jumped into that space. And so I always just now in business, man, I always just try to do things that I know people have done before, where I can look and I can take notes and I can say, okay, our athletes have been in TV production before. What have they done? How can I learn from it? You know, how can I look and see what we can do together? I want to go on TNT. All right. I know Shaq and Charles and guys, they've had success. What can I take from them? So for me, you know, it's a lot of opportunities that open up when you're a three-time champion or when people don't eat your guts. Yeah. Right. So, but it's about the right opportunities and putting yourself, you know, with good people that are going to take care of you and make you look better and help you learn everything along the way. And that's all I've tried to do in business. And whether it's been successful or not, I've always tried to align myself with people that I feel are genuine and that can help me learn. And I'll never want to get into a business venture where I don't learn anything and I just walk away with it, money or not. I always want to walk away with education and knowledge, because I want to be able to tell the next person how they can be successful with something. And so that's kind of how I've approached it, man. And it's worked for me so far. It's a lot more work that I need to do. But, you know, it's been cool.
Well, I think one of the coolest things you're doing too is, you know, I know you're the chief culture officer for CAA too as well, which, can you talk about that and your role, you know, helping, you know, CAA with their culture,
man,
and
just,
everything
else?
Yeah,
man, just, you know, just being a player, you know, been in a room where you are, you know, a guy that I've been blessed to be one of the top endorsed athletes, you know, over my time. I've been in a lot of rooms and I've seen a lot of things. And so, you know, through experience, I wanted to, when I got done playing, I wanted to be able to be that sounding board for the next generation that's coming up. I wanted to be able to help a company that I love in CAA, you know, really reach levels that they haven't reached yet that I think they can. And a lot of it is, you know, is honestly, like you and I, it's the minority space, you know, where a big company, these big institutions don't really have a big presence in the minority space. And so, you know, with my relationship with them, I wanted to be able to further that. And I wanted to be, I build a company with them called CAM, you know, where we're a branding and consulting company for minorities, you know. And so I wanted to be able to put my imprint on a company that was important in my journey, that I feel that I can help the next generation become even better. And so that's what my role is to, you know, I'm always in touch with the guys if they need me of anything. I'm always trying to give agents and CAA a different way of looking at you know, our players and everything, and how to support our players and how to stand up and stand by us. And so forth and so on, man. So great opportunity that I had as soon as I got done playing a game to still stay close enough to the guys, but still be far enough back to where, you know, I could still work on other things I wanted to do as well.
Well, I think what's amazing is you recognize your responsibility, you know, as one of the greatest players to ever play this game. And also knowing that of all the things you've overcome, all the things you've gone through, all the things that you're doing right now, and how there's a responsibility to also give back and to creatively think about a new way to do it. I think that's the cool thing about you. You're constantly thinking about new ways to do things. I even think about when you like go back, you know, middle of your career, you're playing and you got your Jordan brand shoes on, I believe it is. And you go to the Chinese apparel company, you create your own shoes and all that stuff. I think it's Li Nang. Is that how you pronounce
Li Nang,
it?
Yeah.
Li Nang, you know, so like you do a lifetime deal with them, you know. So creatively, you've always thought about ways to do it differently than everybody has ever done it. And, you know, you also have, you know, Wade Wine Cellars and, you know, Wade Cellars, I believe it's called, right? And just, you know, all the things that you have going on, it's pretty fascinating. You're an author as well, you know. So but anyways, if people love, you know, a person who's an entrepreneur, it's you, man. Like, because you've done it all. You've been. I mean, I think I'm an entrepreneur. You do it all. I mean, I surrender. Yeah. You know, but I think that everything that you've done, man, this is why I think we connected so much. You know, when we were in the south of France, kicking it and just hanging out, watching Sierra do her thing. But the reality was that, you know, it was fun just because I really connected with you, because your career, the focus that you've put into it, everything you've done, the impact that you want to do, you're not just doing this for the game, just make buckets and score and just, in football, we'd say get the Hall of Fame jacket. You know, you're not doing it just for that. You're doing it for so much more. You're a Hall of Fame person in terms of how you've impacted people and inspired. And you're still doing it, even when the game's, not every day. You're impacting people, and I think that's just my favorite thing about you. Is just how you continue to inspire. So, I think that's been really cool to watch, really cool to see, and along the way. And so I've loved that about you. And I think about, just, how many seasons you've played, how many times you've done some amazing thing. I mean, 16 years in the NBA. I mean, I think all the things that, so this has been a pretty cool conversation, man. I'm grateful for you. And before you leave, before I let you go, I'm going to bring Jeff Dye back, because he's got this fun game. We can do this little two minute drill here. And I know you're clutch. You're Mr. Clutch yourself. And so, yeah, you've been knowing to have a few buckets, So let's see. Jeff Dye, you back yet, man? I think Jeff's coming back. But, man, I appreciate you, man, first of all. This has been really, really cool conversation. And I've learned so much.
I want to ask you all these same questions, man, because, one former great athlete to a now present great athlete, man, is dope to be able to have these kind of conversations, And so I appreciate it for sure.
Yeah, man. Of course. So Jeff Dye, you back here, man? I think he's somewhere around there. But we're going to do this 2 minutes.
Jeff.
Say again.
Before we start this 2 minute drill, fellas, I just want to ask Dwayne Wade if he could do me a favor. Okay. Make a call and get those Sonics back. Get the Seattle Supersonics back. Come on, man.
It's not that easy. I talked to him already. I talked to Commissioner Silva already. It's not that easy, because then they got to add another team. It has to be equal. It can't be 31 teams. It got to be 32. So now it's a whole nother franchise. It's just it's a lot to go in it. So hopefully one day.
Or they could just take another team from another city where nobody goes to the games and just put them in Seattle.
I don't want to do what Oklahoma did to me. We don't want that. All right. No, D-Wade, here's how the 2 minute drill works, man. Russ is the king of the 2 minute drill on the field and I'll say off the field for sure. No disrespect, Sierra, the slowest 2 minute drill answer we've ever had. But here's how it works. I'm going to give you rapid fire questions in 2 minutes and you just give, you'll be first. So I'll ask you, and then Russ will be the same question, sometimes a little bit modified for his sport or whatever. Okay. And we just go fast. First thing that comes to your mind, don't be afraid. I'm not going to check you.
Don't hold me to these answers, because I ain't going to have time to think about them. All right.
I've already been lectured by the network. Don't ask about, past relationships and things like that. That's the stuff I want to ask, All right. So you got it? You ready for it, D?
I guess.
Russ, you ready?
I'm ready, man. Let's do it.
2 minutes on the clock. Dwayne, going to you first. Your go-to team on NBA Jam?
The Chicago Bulls. Scottie, Michael Jordan.
Bulls.
Yeah, they had no Jordan on NBA Jam, just so you know. All right, funniest teammate? Oh, that's true. your funniest teammate?
Eddie House.
Ooh, man. Funniest teammate? I would probably say all time, probably Michael Bennett.
Okay. Yeah, he is funny. Dwayne, can you still dunk? Russ, can you dunk?
I don't know. I don't know if I can still dunk. I haven't tried. I don't know.
Okay. Russ?
Man, can I dunk? Right now, probably not. Could I dunk? Probably not ever.
All right. What is the fastest you've ever driven a car?
Speed limit.
fastest I've ever driven, man, is probably about 110. But I was in open space and I had a Mercedes SLS. Nice. That thing, man,
you had one day for about 2 hours, and I decided to go up to 100. It was for 2 hours. It wasn't
a Bugatti doing the speed limit is trash. All right, all right, here we go. Where should James Harden go to play this year if you got to pick?
If I got to pick, I don't want to take him away from Houston, but if he's going to leave Houston, I like him in Philly.
Okay. Russ?
That's a tough question, man. I think he's going to stay in Houston. I'm going to pick him in
Your favorite Jordans?
The Jordan 11s. Nope. You know what? Nope. Change. I'm sorry. All right. Jordan 1s.
Okay. He likes the ones that hurt your feet.
I'm gonna go with the 4s and 11s. Because he said two.
Okay. So I get 1s and 11s. Okay.
What's your favorite jersey that you've ever collected after a game?
Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Man, D-Wade, I don't know if I have a jersey of yours yet. I need to get your jersey. I need to get your jersey. I gave you mine after a game. Favorite jersey I've collected after a game? Like one of my football games? I would say I have a Drew Brees jersey. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite jerseys.
Okay. Favorite guilty pleasure food?
I like warm chocolate chip cookies.
I would say the same. That's always my favorite. All right. Warm chocolate chip cookies, for sure.
I'm not watching the clock. Producers, let me know how this is going if we're out of here. Here's a dream job if you weren't a pro athlete.
I think I'd be a rapper or singer, something like that. I ain't really got to work out a lot if I want to.
Same for me, rap.
Yeah.
I would be an R&B.
I'd be a dog walker. All right. Hey, so that was the 2 minute drill, but we're going into overtime for this last question. You ready? Banana boat or sleigh ride?
Banana boat.
Banana boat.
I just like the way you said banana boat. Makes me laugh. Hey, good job on that 2 minute drill. A+, Dwayne Wade. Good job.
Thank you.
Well, listen, man, it's been fun having you on here. Before we always leave, we always talk about, our everyday heroes. You know, Sierra and I, you talk about fashion, how big you are in fashion. Sierra and I just launched the House of LRC, which is going to be our fashion house. You know, it's going to be pretty cool. We got some cool things coming. And one of the things that underneath our fashion house, we have this company called Good Man Brand, which has been doing extremely well. And we give 3%. Every time somebody buys something, we give 3. Your number, my number. You know, I got inspired by you, so I'm rocking 3 too. So, but, you know, listen, the reality is that we always give back. And so when we think about Good Man Brand and the name of it all, it's really about the give back of it. And so we always talk about this everyday hero concept. And, you know, do you have somebody that you've recognized or you know or somebody like that? It could be guy or girl that's your everyday hero, somebody that's just really impacted people, you know, because we want to, you know, send them something.
Man.
We give them some gift. And
I have this young lady that I got connected to from Chicago, and her Instagram name is Inglewood Barbie. That's her Instagram name. Her name. Inglewood Barbie. She's from Chicago. I follow her on social media, and, you know, I do a lot of things with her, with my foundation. And I love what she stands for. You know, she's out there in the city. She's out there helping the less fortunate, the homeless. And she's doing whatever she can. Some nights she'll sleep with them. She slept with them for a week outside in the coldest time. And she makes sure that, you know, every week, like they have, like, she makes sure there's food brought to them, and, you know, coats and you know, sleeping bags and just everything, man. She's really, and she has houses for them. Like, I think she has like 5 or 6 houses that she's put together for them. So she's someone who that's in Chicago, in the city where I'm from, on the ground. I see her daily on her social media, on the ground, doing the real work. And if someone like me, I want to support the people who are actually doing the work and not the people who are talking about the work, the ones I physically see doing it. And so she will have my support as long as God has put money in my pocket, to support, you know, our hometown. So that's who I go with.
Well, for sure. We're going to have to sing Inglewood Barbie. Inglewood Barbie, if you listen to this, Flash, a.k.a. Dane Wade, you know, he's shouting you out. So we're going to have to send you something from the House of LRNC and Good Man Brand and Human Nation, all the things we got going on. We're going to send you a care package. And we're just grateful for people doing amazing work and doing amazing things. So, man, Flash, D-Wade, the one and only Dwayne Wade, man, this has been an honor to have you on here. You know, obviously our friendship has continued to develop, but just you really have been meant a lot to me. You're one of the reasons why I wear 3. I've seen you rock it for so many years, but also just your success, who you are, how you've gone about your business, how you continue to overcome, how you help people, how you are such a family guy, how you also inspire so many people, how you're business savvy. You're, as I said, you're one of the best entrepreneurs there is, and how creative you are. And you and Gabby, just, you guys do so many great things together. You really inspire me and Sierra, and I know Jeff Dye. He loves you too. So, man, it's just been an honor to have you on Danger Talk, and just we've had some amazing guests. You know, not D Wade. You know, and Jeff Dye thinks I can't. Jeff Dye doesn't.
I say you can get any guests you want. I mean, you know, Russell Wilson not going to come on as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Like, he's not going
to
do that.
I told him we want to get Obama, so we'll see if he can pull that off.
Yeah, that's his light skinned brother. I'm sure you should better pull that off.
Yeah, you know, Obama, yeah. Barack, you hearing this? It's me and you soon, Barack. Me and you soon. D Wade and Jeff Dye calling you out. But listen, we've had some amazing guests. We started off with Shaq and all the amazing things he's talked about, his relationship with Kobe, his success, his obstacles, the things he's overcome. We talked about John David Washington, the great actor. You know, he's done some amazing things. He just had his new movie, Tenet, out. We talked to Randy Moss talking about playing with the Patriots and how it was like with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and all the things they had to go through. And we had some other amazing people like Chris Paul, you know, CP3 came on here, another basketball guy who was talking about, you know, playing in the bubble at the time and all the different things that was going on through his whole process. We had the one and only Candace Parker. You know, she talked about being a woman and being such a great leader and just family and the whole aspect of being one of the greatest basketball players there is. And then Jeff Dye is one of his favorites, Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, the kid, he came on, talked about, you know, the sweet swing that he had and just all the amazing things he's done. Matthew McConaughey talking about Greenlight's book, which was pretty cool, his new book. He had an amazing perspective on life. I mean, just listening to how he would get so lost in a scene, he would forget he was there. You know, it was pretty cool to hear him and just how he turned those red and yellow lights into green lights. That's his new book. Then we had one of my favorites of all time. And there's this great image that I always think about is Joe Montana. And we had Joe Montana on the show, him talking about what it was like, you know, with Bill Walsh and playing and success of that. Mike Tyson came on the show. This is right before Mike goes into his fight, you know, which, you know, I think Mike could have done, you know, could have tried to knock him out. I think they were just, you know, dabbling over there. But, you know, but Mike Tyson came on. He took his, him and Jeff Dye took the shirts off, which I think Jeff Dye's lost
style.
Some friends
no,
ever since
people
he's taken his shirt
it.
Off.
People loved it.
Yeah. And then you put out the Jeff. And then maybe we gained some. But we also had Mark Cuban come on the show talking about ownership and just, you know, the NBA and the new world of everything and success and, you know, tech and everything else. And then we had the one and only Sierra. She came on last week. So we went from Sierra to you, Dwayne Wade. So you know that, you know what that means. You know,
let me say this too. I mean, and you said all those amazing things about me, and we could take that soundbite and we could turn that soundbite right back to you and your beautiful family. Everything that you guys not only mean to me and my wife and our family, but what you guys mean to other families and other couples and, you know, other people who inspire to be like Russ, or aspired to be like Sierra, the way that y'all represent, bro, it is special. And we're just thankful that you guys share with us your guys' life, because it allows all of us to be inspired. And my wife look at me like, you ain't doing what Russ doing. And I'll be like, hold on, I ain't got the money Russ got. Don't do that to me. But no, I appreciate you and your beautiful wife. You know, see, I've been knowing her for a long time, and just to see her, you know, her evolve and her evolution in life, bro, it's amazing to see. So glad that we're building this relationship that we have, man. Hopefully it's, you know, it goes way, way beyond, you know, our life. So be cool.
For sure, man. Let's keep inspiring people, man. It's a blessing to have you on Danger Talk. And we're grateful. One and only Dwayne Wade, man. Appreciate you, man.
Love it.
All right. We'll see you soon, my man. Yeah. Love you, brother.
Pleasure.
See you soon.
Yeah, same.
It's an honor, man. Jeff Dye. I mean, that was the one
He's great.
And only. Dwayne Wade, Flash, man, that was amazing. That was one of my favorite interviews, just because of just the realness that he talked about, all the things that he talked about. It was funny how Gabrielle just walked in the
cameo.
In her own, you know, makeup studio at home. You know, she made a cameo. That was cool. But just, you know, I think that the perspective that he talked about and just everything that he's, you know, has helped him prepare and how he's, you know, prepared for life and, you know, the things that he, you know, think about his mom, you know, being in prison and, you know, and just how he got inspiration and transformation from that. And, you know, him talking about, one of my favorite moments is him talking about, you know, him and Kobe, you know, number 9, number 10, just sitting there, the, you know, the gold medal wrapped around their neck and just that feeling, that picture, that moment and how much that meant to him. And just how he talked about how Kobe played, you know, such great defense in that moment and just how those guys, you know, really linked up. And, you know, to always, you know, to his family and how important his family and business and life and the impact that he's made. You know, me and him were kicking in the south of France and hanging out, and we had dinner together and we had some fun times together and just laughing and enjoying things. And so it was cool connecting then. And I've always loved watching him play, but more importantly, just who he was as a person. I really enjoyed it. So that was cool. What'd you learn?
We all know he's a great basketball player. We all knew that. And I think a lot of people who are fans of him know how much he does for like the community and things like that. But what I didn't, what I learned on this was that he's going to have a great career in television. That's a charming dude. And when he talks, I mean, like that was just really natural. Like, watching you guys talk was really cool. That he's like a charming guy and a very charismatic guy for sure.
Yeah, it was impressive. You know, he's always been impressive about how he's gone about his business and life and success. And that's why they're such a great couple together. Those two.
Well, that's also another thing I'll say is that not a lot of people know this, but there isn't a lot of pro athletes that started in poverty. Like if you look at the numbers, it's a lot of kids who got the opportunities to go to better basketball programs and things like that, and got the healthier diets and the better kind of neighborhood areas. So his story is way more unique than people might think if they didn't know about that kind of information. Like it's very, very, very rare to be in that position and then turn it into becoming one of the best basketball players of all time.
Well, I think he's definitely unique, and he's definitely blessed by the man above. So, man, that was cool. And that was a great Danger Talk. And we had another great one next week. We can't wait for you guys to hear about next week. Next week's going to be a good one. We have some pretty cool guests coming up here to finish this 2020 year up. And then, you know, it's going to be pretty cool just to hear this
you
next
heard
guest.
Dwayne.
So,
you heard Jeff, Dwayne. I mean, you can get anybody you want. You're Russell Wilson, you know?
Yeah, I know. So we got some good ones coming up. So listen, I'm fired up about next week, and we'll see you all next week. Make sure you keep telling your friends to sign up for Danger Talk. We'll see you guys soon. That was episode 12. For all those Seahawks fans out there, we had Dwayne Wade. I know he's a Chicago Bears fan, but he also likes the Seahawks. So he's not going to lie. He likes the Seahawks, and that was number 12. So anyways, we'll see you guys soon, and hopefully we get a win next week.
Sure. That's what I'm hoping for.
All right. Big dig.
We're out.
All right. See you guys. Danger Talk. We out.